In your Bibles, there are several passages I'm going to read as a text today. And I want to just ask the question is, how much are you worth? I'm not asking how much you cost. I'm just asking how much you are worth today is the question. And here's a verse of scripture that you already know. I hope everyone knows this scripture by heart. John 3:16. Let's all say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Ephesians 1:4 says this, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and without blame before him in love. And Romans 5:6 through 8 says this, for when we were yet without strength, in the due time, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God, add your anointing to your word. Lord, I need your strength this morning. I pray that, Lord, you would give us ears to hear and give us eyes to see what your Spirit is saying. And Lord, may each and every one of us be so determined as we leave today just how valuable that we are and how valuable life is to you. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. A 10-year-old boy, the story is told, he was failing math. Parents did everything they possibly could. They got him tutors. They got him special instruction after school. And finally, after those seemed to fail, they put him in a Catholic school, private school. Right on the first day of school, he began to spend every night poring over his books. When the first report card came back, he had an A in math. So his parents were curious, you know, what made the difference, they asked. Was it the nuns? Was it the different textbooks? He says, well, I never took math seriously, but on the first day I walked into math class, I saw this guy nailed to a plus sign. I knew then they meant business. I've shared that story with you before. It's a humorous story. You know, the cross here that we have displayed every Sunday, is not just a plus sign. It says something more than, it's a plus for us, by the way, believe me. But it really does. If there is a symbol of God's love and value for life, it can be seen in the cross of Christ. The cross declares your value and my value. It declares those 55 million unborn children that have been aborted over these past, what now is it, 50 years? 40 some odd years? 55 million. The cross determines the value of life. He was nailed to the cross because he was serious about, yes, he was serious about sin, but to me, the cross is not just how serious he is about sin. He is trying to tell us something in the positive, that he loves you so much, and because sin separates us from relationship with God, he had to do something that, if you will, might get us closer to him, might bring us near to him. And it's the cross of Christ. It determines the value of a person. It determines your value. As you know, about 6 years ago, actually 7 years ago, in May, we found out that my wife was pregnant with a child. I had not, in fact, as we had already done some future planning in terms of of our next 10 to 15 years, of what we were going to do in terms of preparing for maybe some kind of retirement. In just a moment, that all went away. Began to run the numbers. Maybe some of you parents have run the numbers of what it costs to raise a child. There are, between the time of birth and the time that your child turns 18 years of age, typically that would be the age that they might leave, 6,600 days of life between birth and the age of 18. Now, by the way, I did go through this, what it was going to cost to raise a child in this climate, economic climate. So I went through a number of things just to make sure that I knew that probably I would never retire or never could retire. What was it cost to raise a child? Well, housing, the extra bedroom now that you have for a child, water, electricity, gas, phone, eventually a phone. And I'm very conservative here in my numbers. Approximately $5 a day for those 18 years, which would, and by the way, that's very conservative. Just the housing alone would be $33,000. I just want to go on record, though, that Addison is going to cost a whole lot more than these figures, okay? Food, to feed a child all those years, this would include everything from baby formula, then, you know, to Gerber's breakfast and all those things, lunches, dinners, breakfast, and then something happens at adolescence, and then they start eating snacks and candy bars and Taco Bell and round table pizzas. And again, I'll be somewhat conservative, $5 a day. You know that you probably can't feed a child on $5 a day, but another $33,000 for 18 years. Clothing, Pampers, by the way, whoever invented Pampers, no doubt is on some beach right now enjoying the fruits of their invention. Pamper diapers. As you know, from the ages of about 3 years of age to about 13, they grow 2 inches like every other month, and you have to continually buy clothes. But I'm very conservative here. Over the 18 years, $3 a day to clothe them. And how many know that that's, you can't do it with a girl anyway? I know that for a fact. That would be $19,000 to clothe that child. Furniture. By 18, they've gone through 4 sets of furniture: nursery, early childhood, adolescence, and then the teen years. A lot of parents today will buy, you know, their child some kind of music thing, a stereo, or maybe possibly a TV. As I have already learned, that children and even 21-year-olds, I won't mention any names there, but they are hard on carpets and things of that nature. A lot of spills with children. How many know what I'm talking about? Where you're going to go through carpet and furniture on a fairly somewhat regular basis. So I've just put $9,000 for furniture in their life in their 18 years. Gifts, the ones that you get them, and then the ones that you have to buy for their friends' birthdays. Okay. Again, very conservative. You know, you have all the Christmas parties and things of that nature. And $500 a year, very conservative, $9,000. Allowances, you know, you may have gotten more or less, but I just kind of averaged $1 a week from ages 6 through 14, small cost of $468, but how many know that you give your child more in allowances than that? Vacations, oh boy, unbelievable, but I've designated about $750 a year so we could go on vacations, just and I again, that's very conservative, $13,000. And then insurances and doctors, dentist and orthodontist and they charge you incredible amounts of money. And again, I've just estimated I'm low here at $9,000 by the time of 18. Supplies, probably about $50 a month for, you know, pencils and haircuts and shampoos and all those things, bubble baths and all that. $10,800 over the 18 years. Education, if it's public school, $300 probably a year. Most of that gas, getting them there and back. $3,600 or more if you put them in a private school. So estimated about $10,000 to educate them thereabouts. Then enrichment education. And parents, you know what this is. This is like music lessons. This is like ballet. This is like gymnastics. My daughter will do a cartwheel, and I will say that cost me $60 for her to do that cartwheel. Parents, does anybody know what I'm talking about here? Okay, just all four of you that have kids. Anyway, and then auto expenses. Ask Dan what that cost. I mean, his son has gone through 3 vehicles in the last 3 years. Is that right?
In the same year.
In the same year. Okay, there you go. All that added up, conservatively, about $155,000 over the 18 years. How many know it's more than that? It's a lot more. So $150,000, or let's say, would be the economic impact report that my daughter Addison is going to cost me over the 18 years. That's why I'll be working till I'm 98 years old. There will be no retirement. That's not bad, though, because that would only be roughly about $23.50 a day. Let me tell you something about her. She is worth every penny of it. How many know what I'm talking about? If I could do more, I would probably. But that and that too does not include the value of people's times that it put their investment in my child's life. I thought about if there was about 10 of us, 15 of us that wanted to trade our child in, we could build a really nice building across in the grass area with that kind of money. But none of you would, nor would I. Now that's cost, okay? Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, he says, "Take heed to beware of those that covet. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." Talking about cost. All the things that you could accumulate that cost you things that you now have. He makes a very important point. Because how many know that there is a difference between cost and value? Somebody says, how much can you get for your car? Can I tell you, it does not matter. Some of you go, well, I'll go to Blue Book and it'll determine the value. No, that is not the value of your car. The value of your car is what somebody is going to pay you for it. Well, how much is my house worth? Well, you know, in this particular part of town, it may be worth, but it's still, you're not going to get anything more than what somebody will pay you for that house. You may get more, you may get less, but the value is determined by what somebody will pay for that particular thing that you have. Jesus, God, in the person of Jesus Christ, he throws all that cost stuff out, and he says, I'm going to put a value on life and people and my creation that far goes beyond cost, something that you could not even buy. So he gives us that wonderful, incredible verse that we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," and that in itself determines the value. Whatever I will spend on Addison is not what she is worth. She is worth far greater. In fact, as I can't put something of a monetary thing on her worth. She's worth far greater than even I can fathom. But God, the greatest one, so loved to the greatest degree the world, the greatest amount of people. How many believe that every creation of God, every person conceived, is loved by God? How many believe that? I believe it with all my heart. Every person, the unborn, the born, the handicapped, the mentally challenged, those that are paraplegic and quadriplegic, they all are so valuable to God. They are all so important to God, His creation. To the world, the greatest amount of people, everyone that He gave, the greatest generosity known to man, that He gave, the greatest generosity, His only begotten Son, the greatest gift. Jesus is the greatest gift ever given. His only begotten Son, the greatest gift, His uniqueness. That whosoever, the greatest invitation ever given, whosoever believeth in Him, the greatest simplicity, should not, the greatest certainty, perish, the greatest possible loss, but the greatest difference, have the greatest possession, eternal, the greatest length of time. How many know that you can't get any longer than eternal? Eternal is forever and ever. And then he closes that verse with life. Life, the greatest gift. The gift of life is God's, if you will, besides Jesus coming, you know, the life, you know, children are gifts of God, and how we view people. You are my greatest gift, if you will, in terms of life in Hanford. God gave you to me an incredible gift of great value to God. When we notice John 3:16, this greatest generosity, it really helps us to begin to understand our value to God, if you will, our value through the eyes of God. It tells us several things about God. First of all, it tells us about His character, that He is extravagantly generous. Ephesians 1, 7 and 8, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. The character. He is extravagantly generous to us. And then we understand the depth of God's care for us as demonstrated by His generosity, or said differently, it speaks to our value to God, which is what we want, you know, really, that's what this day is about, what we want to just leave with you today. John 3:16 makes it abundantly clear that our value, what our value is to God. For God so loved that He gave. And one of the great challenges that we have as a church, especially on a day where we are not celebrating in no way Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, we mourn the 55 million children that have been lost, but we understand something. Because we do not see them, that they are as valuable as you and I are. How many believe that? They are as valuable, though it may be done in privacy, and maybe nobody ever knows, those unborn are valuable, are so valuable to God. 55 million. And now we wonder why, and I shared this a little bit last week, but we are in a culture of death. The whole issue of abortion and the value of life and the right to life and all those issues that have become so political, they are asking all the wrong questions. They are dealing with the wrong issues. Somebody says, Pastor, you know, what's your feeling about pro-life and pro-choice? Well, I tell them, I am pro-choice. Pastor, how could you be? I am for the unborn right to choose. They need to write. They are valuable to God. They have a right to choose how they are going to live their life. And God loves them so much, and they are so valuable to Him. And now with all kinds of technology, even within the womb, people are determining the value of that child. Dismissing, if you will, what God, and dismissing the fact that God is the creator of all. That it's God's doing. So, we understand, though, this incredible verse of Scripture that we've read all of our lives, maybe the first verse that we memorize, but I think we've almost become immune to it. Yes, for God so loved the world. And I'm glad it put the world there because it speaks to those most vulnerable, those that we will never know. It demolishes, if you will, the economic statuses of people. It wipes that away, and God says, everyone is valuable to me. Whether they are rich or poor, black or white, whether they are handicapped, or whether they are whatever normal may be in our minds, He loves everyone equally. And everyone is valuable to God. That's what that verse speaks of. For God so loved the world that He gave. We are so often bombarded by the fact that we are sinners that it makes it difficult for us to grasp. How could God love a sinner such as I? Could yearn to turn my sorrow into bliss, nor rest until He had brought me nigh. How marvelous His love like this. Such love, such wondrous love. That great little chorus, I want you to sing it with me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He loves us. He loves those that we do not see. He loves the little person that has dementia down at the rest home this morning. He loves them. They are valuable in His sight. Pastor John will remember a young man in our youth group in Madeira. His name was Wackerman. Wackerman was a Down syndrome boy who loved coming to youth group. And I always had to fight with kids because you know how kids can be. They can be brutal when it's somebody's different than themselves. But Wackerman could not sing, but he was on the worship team. And he, unfortunately, and I don't know really his home environment, but he wore his pants, and he didn't have pants that fit him. So you imagine a Down syndrome child wearing pants that were kind of like, we called them the floods. John, you remember that? And he wore different color socks at times. But I love Mr. Wackerman because somehow... God helped me to see His value. He knew the kids made fun of Him. But boy, it didn't stop Him at all. He danced a jig when He led worship with us. Value. You know, though, in our society today, America now is becoming more, they would look at Wackerman and they would say, he is not as valuable as someone else. But I want you to know that whether it be Wackerman, whether it be the lady with dementia, whether it be Jake with his wonderful challenges, that they are valuable to God. He died for each and every one. May we treat one another differently. God help us when we look down on other people that are different than us. That is not, if you will, the message of God's love for us. If we treated some people in our society based upon different things, if God treated us in that way, we wouldn't like it very much. we wouldn't feel very valuable. But God, what is value determined by? You have to look at that in our culture today. I'm not here to tell you, well, you know, let's jump on the bandwagon because thou shalt not kill, and that's why we should be against abortion. We should be against abortion because God loves that unborn so much that we can't stand to sit back. We should be, if you will, against somebody determining whether a disease is not really worth the cost factor. Why? Because, well, there's something wrong about that. Yes, there's something wrong about it, but the thing that's wrong about it is that God loves that person and they are valuable to God because the cross tells us how valuable people are. Always and in every case. But what determines the value? The cost and labor and production of that. How much does it cost to make and produce something important, an important item? That's how you determine the value, at least one part. Jesus told a parable about counting the cost before you build a tower or before you go to war. Luke 14:28-30. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, counteth the cost, whether you have the sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he made hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. God knew how much it was going to cost him to make and redeem man. And long before the first man and woman were ever created, he knew the cost. He had already counted the cost. In Genesis 1:26, there is no hesitancy suggested in the creation of man, even though God knew what was ahead for his son. He knew what was ahead. He knew there was a cross ahead, and yet he breathed life into man and says, you are valuable to me. You have no idea I'm going to have to go through down the road to pay for, if you will, your redemption. But I'm going to do it anyway. There was no hesitancy in him breathing life into us and creating life, knowing the cost. He had counted the cost. He knew how much it was going to cost him. Why? Because in his eyes, you are worth something. You are invaluable to him. You are his creation. He knows you by name. The cost of creating and redeeming man was outweighed by the value that he placed on having us near him. You have great and enormous value to God. He counted the cost. He created you. He says, you are worthy of the cross in which I will go to because I love you. You are worthy of that. Now, don't get big-headed. It should humble us to no end of just how valuable God thinks we are. Secondly, the purchase price. The second item that we consider in the value is of a thing is the actual purchase price. How much God paid for us says a whole lot about his value of us. In heaven, as you know, gold and jewels have little value. In fact, gold will be the pavement upon which we will walk. What then is the value? What is valuable in heaven? If heaven had a vault to protect its most valuable property, what would be kept in it? It would not be silver, it would not be gold, nor any such thing. If we were to open heaven's vault, we would find the person of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. God spared no expense in purchasing you and I. He gladly and willingly emptied his vault that you and I might have his choice possession, the person of Jesus Christ. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver or gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but you were purchased. You were bought with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. I'm glad he didn't send gold down to determine my value. He sent the person of Jesus, the most valuable, if you will, the most valuable thing in heaven, he sent to this earth. When we consider the purchase price paid, the precious blood of Christ, then we, you and I, have to know of just how of a great value that we are to God. Another thing in determining the value of something is the effort in obtaining. This third item, if you will, considering the value, is the amount of effort someone is willing to expend to obtain it. I don't know how many of you watch television much about some of these things that people do for like $10,000. They'll let bugs crawl over them. Anybody see any of that stuff? I don't watch those programs, by the way. No, we watch other stupid programs. I've been on Nat Geo lately. The Monster Living In You. Have anybody seen that? The Monster? The Monster Within. Television is getting really bad. It's amazing what people will do to get some money. The things that, you know, climbing different mountains. They would eat certain bugs and things of that nature, and they would get money for that. The length that people will go to get something. But the most, if you will, incredible extent that someone ever went to get something or purchase something was Jesus. The scripture says this, a very familiar scripture, Isaiah 53:6. He laid on him the iniquity of us all. You had better understand, we can talk about Jesus dying on the cross. He did die on the cross, but something happened on the cross that again, if you will, exposes his value. He laid our sin on Jesus. All of our sin. The iniquity of us all, he laid upon Jesus. What an incredible length. God put on Jesus every sin committed by every person who ever lived. No one ever went to a further length to get something than Jesus did, than God did in the person of Jesus Christ. It says to me how valuable you are. He died on a cross, but he had your sin on the cross as well, all of our sin. You are valuable to God. Another thing that determines the value is the value to thieves. The Bible says the thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, I come to give you life. The reason why that you have issues with Satan is because you have that much value to God. He does not like that. The thief will come in. What do thieves place the value of things on? The more value the item has, the more thieves, or in our case, the thief, is attracted to stealing it. The fact that the devil, the world, the flesh, they have a contract on you proves that you are worth something. And finally, I close with this, if the worship team would come, is what it takes to keep that thing. What determines the value? What does it take to keep that thing or sustain that item which you have placed worth in? The thing's value, the person's value, your value, can be determined by the amount of effort to safeguard that. What has God done for us? Yeah, we talk about the cross of Christ. We've mentioned John 3:16, that for God so loved the world. But yes, he's done those that demonstrate his love. But how many know that he has safeguarded? He's done something even in the meantime, our present lives. He's actually done two things, done a whole lot of things, but two things that rise to the forefront. That he has given us his Holy Spirit to sustain us and keep us, to empower us. He has given us his Holy Spirit. I will not leave you what comfortless, but I will send my Holy Spirit. He provides this incredible, if you will, demonstration of his love, and which demonstrates to us our value to him by the cross. But before he leaves, he says, well, now I've done my job. You do your thing. No, he says, I'm going to leave you. I will not leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send one that is like me, the person of the Holy Spirit, to walk with you through life. That is one way. You determine the value by how the person would sustain that which is valuable to them. And the second thing is that he has given us his word. His word, the precious word, the everlasting, ever-living word of God. He has given us his word that you and I, if we would live by his word, we are going to, We're going to make it in life. You're going to end at the end. You're going to be victorious in life. I look around. We have all different shapes and sizes. Some of you may come on a Sunday morning, and you may not feel worth very much. Some of you may look across the way and say, boy, they have everything. God has so blessed them. You know, don't sell yourself short. You are every bit as valuable to God as that person is. You are every bit as much as important as that perfect is. You are equally as important to God because He did the same thing. He did the same thing for you as He did for them. One of the things I shared with you last week as we talked about our vision, the reason why, maybe the number one reason why that God has called us as never before to continue our work in reaching people is because they are valuable to God. They are not worthless. Why do we go to the incarcerated? They blew it. They deserve what they're getting. They are doing the time, but somehow through it all, they are valuable to God. They are important to God. Do you believe that? Oh, no, not some of the sins they committed. Can I tell you something? They are all valuable to God. I'm not their judge. Some things that people do detest me. They probably detest you as well. But somehow this incredible gift of God says they are valuable to God. The fact that He died on the cross. All life is valuable. All life is valuable. I'm always disturbed. I'm all for saving the whale. I'm not going to give any money to do it, but I'm all for it. They put those little puppies on the screen that are abused and things, and they use that to stir our emotions, to send money. I'm all for saving the dogs. I don't think you should mistreat animals. But I can tell you, a human, a person, is far more valuable than all those put together. They have a soul that God cares about, that He died for. Can I tell you, let's not compromise, church, in the value of life. In the value of life. Let's not back down. It is the great, of at least in terms of America, it is the great determining factor. We live in a culture that says we are progressing. Anybody believe that we are progressing, that we are better off than we were before we legalized abortion? Does anybody in their right mind think that things are greater than they were back then? It set America on a major decline of how we view life. But I just want to say, I could show you pictures and you go, oh boy, yeah, life begins at certain... You know something? David made the point that at conception, he knew that God knew him. All life is valuable. And may we treat that. For those of you that are feeling bad about yourself, oh, I pray that you'll see your life through the eyes of Christ on a cross. I mean, everything is right there. Your value, if it's determined there first, can I tell you, if you're relying on the person around you to love you, to give you your worth, they'll hurt you. It'll fall short. But the consistent example and testimony of Jesus from the cross, can I tell you, will be your security. It will be your self-esteem. You are worth something to God today. He died for you. Stand with me if you would, please. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your word. Lord, this weekend, as we commemorate a decision...